Today we finish, at least for now, it's probably never finished because it's the heart of who we are as Christians, but we wrap up this series, Loved by Jesus, Love Like Jesus. And we've been looking at a lot of characteristics that I suspect that was initially seen as the people around you. But if you really looked closely, you might have seen yourself in some of those topics. We've talked about loving the overlooked. We've talked about loving the outcast, about loving the children, about loving the family, about loving the brokenhearted. And so many topics that we've looked at that describe the world around us, but also tend to describe us at times in our life. And this morning we're going to look at a topic, and I've told several people this. I'm not sure if it's a Thanksgiving message or an anti-Thanksgiving message, but a message I've entitled Loving the Ungrateful. Probably not something you've really thought a lot about, especially in this season. If I ask how thankful are you, at least if I would have asked that before all the snow came, most people would probably, especially at this season of the year, as we start thinking about the Thanksgiving holiday, we've kind of trained our minds to be thankful in our expressions. Now, I imagine that when you woke up this morning and decided whether you were going to clean off the car and shovel the drive and all of the things that needed done, there might have just been a little bit of grumbling in some households. Might have been. That the thankfulness level might have dropped a little bit overnight. But what does it look like to be thankful, especially when things aren't what you anticipated they would be? And I think that's an important question to consider, because isn't that life? Maybe I'm out on the limb here and just kind of living a strange life, but for me, there are so many times that things just aren't quite what I expected them to be. And yet God calls me, God calls us to be thankful. And I wonder, as you consider how thankful are you, I typically, when I ask questions like that, I like to follow it up with the question is, would the people around you agree with your answer? You see, we can claim we're thankful. We can claim that we live in a certain way, but if the people around us see something different, then what is really the truth? Which leads us to the next question, would God agree with your answer? You see, we can fool ourselves. We can even fool the people around us. But God will not be fooled. And so when I think about the times in our life when we grumble, when we complain, when we're not as thankful as God would want us to be, I think about how did Jesus love those who were ungrateful? He definitely experienced that. People that did not appreciate his teaching, people that did not appreciate who he was. And how did Jesus love the ungrateful? That's the heart of this series. It's considering how did Jesus love people so that we can love people like he did. And sometimes it's considering how did Jesus love people so we can love ourselves like Jesus loved. And so I want to look at briefly, I want to give a few examples of how Jesus loved people. We're actually going to look at a story that isn't directly Jesus loving the ungrateful. It's a parable that he told. But I think when I first think of Jesus loving the ungrateful, I think of the 10 lepers in Luke 17. These 10 men who had leprosy, who were unclean, who could not associate with other people, who were outcast. And they cried out to Jesus. And he loved them by healing them. Now, the reason we know that story, and most of the times when we talk about that story, we kind of focus on one of those 10. Because the text says after Jesus had told them to go and show themselves to the priest, that they were healed as they went their way. All 10 of them. And it says, but one returned to give thanks. And we like to focus on him and we think, wow, what an incredible response. But it did not change the healing that the others received. And so I think about Jesus loving the ungrateful. I think about those 9 who for whatever reason did not return to give thanks. Perhaps they thought, well, I'm obeying Jesus. He said to go and show myself to the priest. If I stop doing what he said to do, then maybe I'll be sick again. I don't know their reasons. I just know they chose not to return to give thanks, but yet Jesus healed them. I think about the people of Jerusalem. All of those crowds and the masses of people that had gathered. In Luke 13, Jesus is looking out over the city. People who, well, had rejected him, who did not accept who he was, who were ungrateful for the message that he brought. And in Luke 13, verse 34, it says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who killed the prophets and stoned those that were sent to you, how often have I longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Those in Jerusalem that were ungrateful, that refused to see who Jesus was, he still loved them with a longing to protect them, with a longing to draw them to himself, not dependent on whether they wanted it or not. He still loved them. But what about you and me? Romans chapter 5 describes how Jesus loved us when we were ungrateful. And when we consider what that looks like, Romans 5, verse 8 says, But God demonstrates his love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners. You talk about ungrateful. God had given everything we needed, and we continued to rebel. And what was his response? Jesus died for us. And so when I consider what it looks like to love the ungrateful, when I consider how Jesus loved the ungrateful, I think the first thing that comes to my mind is that he would lift them. That he would see where they're at in life and he would do what he could as Jesus to lift them from where they were to where they needed to be. Whether that lifting was through a healing, whether that lifting was through prayer, whether that lifting was through dying on the cross for you and me. And so this morning we're going to use that word lift for our outline. And we're going to look at 4 things that I believe Jesus does for us when we're ungrateful that he would have us to do for others when they're ungrateful. So many times we teach our children to say thank you and they'll look at us like we're crazy because somebody will give them something that they don't want, they don't like. It's just this random expression and say thank you. I don't want to say thank you. I didn't want this. But we train our children in that way because we value gratefulness. But we don't always practice it, do we? And that's why it's important to learn to love the ungrateful, because sometimes that ungrateful person is us. And we need to experience that love just as we need to share that love. And that's the first element of lifting the ungrateful, of lifting them, is to love them. And we're going to be looking at part of the story of the prodigal son, the part that often doesn't get a lot of attention, the ending part, the part about the older son, the ungrateful one, if you want to look at it that way. But I believe this parable shows us how Jesus loves us, just as it shows us how that father loved that ungrateful son. And the first thing that I notice is that in the midst of his ungratefulness, he was still loved. Luke chapter 15, I want to look at this. I'm going to begin reading at verse 25. I want you to hear this account strictly that involves this older brother. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field, and when he came near the house, he heard music and dancing, and so he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. "Your brother has come," he replied, "and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound." And you would think, wow, what incredible news. But that's not the response of the older brother. Sometimes I'm not sure that's the response of us. Verse 28, the older brother became angry and refused to go in, so his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders." I wonder how true that was. "Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you killed the fattened calf for him." "Oh, my son," the father said, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." What an incredible love of someone who was ungrateful. To go out and plead with him. Sometimes when those around us are ungrateful, or perhaps even if that's us, we may kind of give a token invitation or welcome, but in our hearts and in our minds, we're not disappointed if they just stay outside, if they just stay away, if they just don't get involved. We may say, "Well, come on over." And when they say, "No, I won't," well, okay, fine. Our love is lacking because we're not willing to go that extra mile, to take that extra step, as the father did, that represents Jesus, that pleaded with him. His desire was to overcome the objections. His desire was to make him welcome. His desire wasn't to point out the ungratefulness, but was to change it. And God's call to us as his children, as we encounter the ungrateful, even if the ungrateful is ourself, is that we be lifted out of that by his love and by our expressions of his love. And when I think about what that looks like, the second part of lifting them is not only just loving them in general, but it's including them. I think that's part of that pleading. It's part of that desire that you belong. Verse 31 that we read, the father says, "My son, you are always with me and everything I have is yours." It's that reminder that you've not been forgotten. You're a part of who we are. You belong. And I think sometimes we deal with the ungratefulness of people, we deal with our own ungratefulness, and we begin to build these walls of isolation. And we love the ungrateful when we include them, even when they're not sure that they have a place of belonging, even when they feel slighted. Jesus comes along and tells us, it's one of the reasons I love that Romans passage that I read, that while we were yet sinners, elsewhere Paul describes it, while we were enemies in our mind of God, Christ died for us. He included us in his plan, in his invitation, in his desire to be one. We love the ungrateful when we lift them by loving them, by including them, by desiring them, by making them feel that they belong. This father wanted more than anything, not simply to celebrate with the younger son who had come home. He wanted to celebrate with his family. It wasn't an either or, it was a both. And his desire is that this older son would know that just because we're treating the return of this younger one from the dead in a special way, it doesn't mean that you're less important. And so we love the ungrateful when we learn to really love them, to include them. But I think there comes a time where we have to be very specific. And the third part of loving the ungrateful is learning to focus them. So many times our eyes get turned towards the things that are discouraging. One of the things that I love to do, and many of you follow the photography that Mary Jane and I do, but we describe it as created for glory. And what we try to do is out in nature, out in wildlife, out just in the creation that God has made, to catch and capture glimpses of God's glory that we can share with others. And that's part of this concept of focusing the ungrateful, is helping them to see that silver lining in the cloud, so to speak. Do I like a foot of snow dumped all at once and having to dig out from under it and the mess of driving in it and all of that stuff? Absolutely not. But I do appreciate the beauty. And if I focus on the mess, I will continue to live a life of ungratefulness. If I focus on the beauty, I will give thanks to God for what He created. And it's the same thing. It's the same scene. It's the same experience. But it's not just the snow, it's the people around us. Those that are living a life of ungratefulness often have circumstances and things in their life that have led them to that point that they see no way out. And as we lift them, we help to focus them off of the down part and to the glory of God that can be seen. When Paul would write, he would talk about his struggles. He would talk about this thorn in the flesh that he would have. He would talk about the difficulties. And if that's all Paul would ever write about, there would be so much discouragement within the New Testament. His experiences were horrendous. And if he lifted that up and says, here's what it's like to be a Christian, to be a follower of Jesus, we would think, wait a minute. Who wants any of that? I mean, he goes through his list and he talks about being shipwrecked, about being beaten, about being starved, about all of this stuff. But every time that he does that in the context of showing us the goodness of God and rescuing him and carrying him and providing for him and doing incredible things in spite of the difficulties. I believe this father tried to focus this older son, verses 29 and 30. is the response of the son. Again, the son says, all of these years I've been slaving for you. I've never disobeyed you. You've never given me anything. I seriously doubt that that was true. But how often do we have a similar response to God? We see what somebody else has received, we see what somebody else has, and we think, God's not done anything for me. And this father tries to refocus the heart and the mind of this older son to lift him out of that blindness so that he can see the goodness of the Father. And oftentimes when we encounter those that are ungrateful, we love them like Jesus loves them when we help them to focus. It doesn't mean that the problems don't exist, but it means we turn our eyes towards God so that He can carry us through those problems, so that He can help us. We love the ungrateful when we lift them by loving them, by including them, by focusing them. But we love the ungrateful when we teach them. Sometimes we've encountered people, I've encountered people that tend to live a very, what appears to be a very bitter life. A life filled with ungratefulness. And as you listen to their story, you kind of get an idea of why they're the way they are. But the problem is we're satisfied with leaving them there so many times. And there'll be times that's just the way they are. Well, does it have to be the way they are? Does it have to be the way that I am? You see, God wants us to be involved in people's lives by loving them enough to teach them. I believe that ending verse of this passage, the father says, we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. It's this incredible teaching moment. And when we begin to teach people the value that every soul has, that every person has, we begin to lift them out of this spirit, this attitude of ungratefulness. Because sometimes what they need to know is the value that they have. You see, when we teach the value that when the lost is found, when the dead is made alive, we must celebrate. It's not just a teaching in theory. It's not just a teaching in words. It's a teaching that's shown by the way we love and the way we embrace and the way we care for one another. This father wanted the older son to be happy, to be glad, to be thankful. And the father calls to you and to me. And he says, lift up your eyes. Lift up your spirit, lift up your heart, and know that you are loved. And so many times, when we fall into that trap of ungratefulness, it's because the enemy has convinced us that no one cares, that everything's against us, that we'll never overcome whatever this hurdle is that's sitting smack dab in front of us. And so why should we be thankful? Life is unfair. And it's particularly unfair to me. And the more that we live in that trap, the deeper it becomes. And so this morning, I'm not only here to encourage and to challenge us to look around and love the ungrateful that we encounter every day. I'm here to encourage and challenge us to look inside and to love the ungrateful that resides within us. To allow the love of Jesus to lift us. To love us in a way that fully embraces us. I suspect we all have those encounters, whether it's at family gatherings and as we approach Thanksgiving and Christmas holidays. Many of us will be involved in extended family gatherings with people that we know and love, and well, with people that we know and maybe not love so much because we know them. And most families, I suspect, are not all that different than mine, but I could be that weirdo out there. I'm not discounting that at all. But there are people that you will see that you haven't seen since the last holiday gathering. And your first reaction will be to run to them and embrace them because you are so glad to see them. There are likely other people that will be at that holiday gathering that you've not seen since the last holiday gathering that you will kind of sidestep to the kitchen and hope they didn't see you. Because they bring you down. They treat you in a way that you don't like. The list is endless as to why. But what happens if we choose to lift them? To help them. To love them like Jesus loves them. To include them. To help focus them. And to teach them. You see, I believe it not only becomes a transformation point in their life, it becomes a transformation point in our life. I think attitude is contagious. I've seen it too often. You get around a group of people that are grumbling and complaining, and it doesn't have to be but one person that's just... Something happened on their way to work. Something happened on their way home. Something happened, and they just are in a bad mood. And it's a fairly short time before everyone around them is in a bad mood. And you sit there and you think, how did this happen? Well, for beginners, we didn't take God's word serious when he said to take every thought captive. But we began to believe their discouragement. We began to believe their ungratefulness. But there are also those people in life that show up in the midst of a situation and they just exude so much joy that it isn't long before everybody is celebrating, everybody's happy, everybody's thinking, wow, what an incredible gathering. And that little bit of joy that they had, that little bit of thankfulness that they brought, became contagious. And I believe when Jesus teaches about the power of love, about the power of forgiveness, about the power of attitude, he's calling us to be that person, that representative of his who learns to love those, well, that are difficult to love. To love the ungrateful. Because he loves us. Even when we're ungrateful. This morning, as we come to a time of decision, the question really becomes not so much how thankful are you. That's probably not a fair question to ask when we've gathered to worship God. We wouldn't want to admit that we're not thankful. But the question really becomes, how will you love people this week when they're not as grateful as you think they ought to be? Will you genuinely love them? Not just a surface token, yeah, we love everybody. as this father, would you plead, would you desire to be with them? Will you include them? Help transform them. Help focus them. Help teach them. As we approach a holiday season, and this week we'll be celebrating the Thanksgiving holiday, and it is my prayer that we can gather as families, that we can gather in our individual homes, and we can be thankful. But it's also my prayer that as we notice those around us that aren't sure they have anything to be thankful for, that we can love them, that we can help them. And if you're hearing this message this morning and you are one of those that, well, life has been difficult, you feel like that older son who has been, well, mistreated, who's been neglected, who's experienced an unfair life. Know that the love of Jesus extends to you. That our desire as God's children, as the representatives of Jesus, is to love you just as Jesus loved me when I've been ungrateful. As you have opportunity this week, consider what it looks like to love the ungrateful. Next week, we're going to jump into our Christmas series. There are postcards out on the table in the entryway that you can use to remember, but more importantly, you can use to invite your friends. We're going to be talking about a Christmas feast, and as would be typical of my way of doing, that feast is the outline for all 5 weeks of the series as we talk about different aspects of the Christmas story and how God would have us to live it and to share it. And a part of that is living it and sharing it with those that need it most, those that act ungrateful. If you have a decision that you need to make, if you've come this morning and you are outside of Christ and you need to have your sins washed away, we would love to talk to you about that decision. But for most that would gather on a Sunday morning, we pursue Christ. We follow Him. We love Him. But we need to grow. And so each week there's something that God is calling for every one of us to decide. And I believe this week He's calling us to decide, how will I love the ungrateful? If you have a decision that you need to make publicly, you're welcome to come as we stand and as we sing.